Welcome to the Deep Dive, brought to you by the Pitcot Podcast.
Hello, everyone.
We are here to give you that shortcut to being truly well-informed. We take stacks of, really intense source material, distill the core insights, and just give you the knowledge you need without all the emotional overwhelm.
And today, we are tackling a subject that is, it's as common as it is psychologically complex.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing a deep dive into the psychology and, importantly, the repair of revenge affairs.
Yeah.
These situations are just incredibly messy. They're tangled up in so much pain, betrayal, and a deep sense of confusion about what's next.
Exactly. So our mission today is to move past that initial shock. We want to unpack the hidden psychological drivers, the brutal long-term effects, and I think most importantly, the clear, actionable path toward repair and healing.
And all these insights, we should mention, are drawn directly from the best-selling ebooks you can find on the Pitcot ebook store.
That's right. And before we dive in, just a quick reminder, if you appreciate these deep dives, please make sure you subscribe to our channel if you haven't already.
And activate that notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads.
Also, please press the like button. It genuinely helps the recommendation algorithm so more people can find this discussion. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Okay, so let's start with the basics. What even is a revenge affair? Because it's really distinct from other kinds of infidelity.
Right. It's not the same thing at all.
Not at all. A revenge affair is defined not by, say, an emotional connection to a new person, but by this conscious or subconscious desire to even the score.
So it's retaliation.
It's pure retaliation. It completely skips addressing the core problem in the marriage and just moves straight into this really destructive form of scorekeeping.
That is such a critical distinction. It's driven by hurt, right? The core emotional driver isn't love or attraction or even boredom. It is fundamentally hurt.
Absolutely.
These affairs are, a misguided attempt to reclaim some power when you feel powerless or to just project your pain back onto the person who caused it.
And the Pitcot materials are so clear on this. It might give you a fleeting sense of, vindication.
Mm-hmm.
But the long-term damage is just severe.
It's just a symptom.
That's a perfect way to put it. The root cause is always this profound sense of imbalance in the primary relationship. It usually starts with betrayal, sure, but often it's something quieter.
Like emotional neglect?
Exactly. A partner feeling unseen or unheard for, maybe years.
Okay, so we need to know what specifically ignites that urge to retaliate. The Pitcot research lays out four core catalysts or root triggers.
We can map them out pretty clearly.
Yeah.
The most direct one, number one, is obviously infidelity from the spouse.
The classic eye for an eye.
Yeah, it's that immediate, almost gut level response.
Yeah.
But like you said, it often comes from these more insidious long-term issues.
And I think the subtlety of the other three is what's really fascinating.
I agree. So the second major trigger is a persistent lack of emotional support or validation.
Mm.
When one partner consistently says, I need reassurance, I need connection, and those needs are just dismissed over and over again, it creates a vacuum.
And that feeling of not mattering, that emotional invisibility you mentioned, it's so toxic. And suddenly it feels easier to get affirmation from someone, anyone else.
For sure. Then the third trigger is this dangerous buildup of unresolved conflicts piling up over time.
The emotional debt.
That's it. The emotional debt. When couples just sweep things under the rug, those little issues don't vanish. They accumulate interest.
And the affair becomes this catastrophic way to default on that debt. You're not just mad about one thing. You're blowing up years of resentment.
Precisely. And that leads to the fourth catalyst, which kind of encompasses all of it. A sustained feeling of being undervalued or ignored.
When it stops feeling like a partnership.
Yes. When it starts feeling like a burden, the urge to seek validation elsewhere, even if it's temporary and destructive, it just becomes overpowering.
And that dynamic is so critical to understand. It explains why the affair is less about, I want a new life, and more about screaming, look at the pain you caused me.
Right.
But let's shift to the fallout, because the consequences are just brutal.
Ah.
The Pitcot material confirms these affairs, they almost never achieve their goal.
They can't. The fallout is uniquely toxic because you're adding a second layer of betrayal.
Mm.
You have the original hurt, and now you have the retaliation. It just doubles the injury.
Which leads to an immediate and, profound loss of trust and emotional intimacy.
For both people.
Mm.
And the conflict doesn't stop. It escalates. The dynamic shifts from I'm hurt to now we're both hurt because of both of us.
The attempt to even the score just
yeah.
increases the score of misery.
And beyond the marriage, The personal toll is huge. It creates incredible psychological stress for both partners. The person who retaliated often ends up with this deep, unexpected guilt.
Realizing it didn't solve anything.
Nothing.
Correct.
And the initial victim now feels doubly betrayed. And if the cycle isn't broken, I mean, you're looking at the potential breakdown of the marriage.
Even if you survive it, that guilt and shame can linger for years, like an anchor.
Which is why it's so important to see that the affair just worsens the emotional distance. It's a profound miscalculation. You think you're getting justice, but you're really just destroying your own home.
This is where you, our listener, really need to stop and reflect. Are you acting out of a need for temporary relief? Or are you using a third person as a shield to avoid the real issues?
That self-assessment is key because, you know, not all revenge affairs come from the same place.
Yeah.
And that means the path to repair looks very different. We have to distinguish between two primary emotional drivers.
Tell us about that spectrum. What are the two types?
Okay, so on one end, you have frustration-driven affairs. These are rooted in things like sustained emotional neglect, unmet expectations, or just relational boredom.
It's more of a desperate cry for attention.
It is. It's a way of signaling, I am drowning over here, and you haven't even noticed.
And the good news about that type?
The good news is these are often repairable. Because the core desire is usually still for the primary relationship to work. Repair is possible through sincere conversation, empathy.
A real commitment to change.
Right. But then you have the other side of that distinction. The truly volatile situations.
Okay.
The rage-driven affair. These are fueled by deep, consuming anger. Usually in reaction to a monumental betrayal like financial ruin, a long-term double life, something huge.
So in this case, the infidelity isn't a cry for help. It's
an act of controlled demolition. The goal is punitive, not reparative.
That's a totally different psychological state. I imagine that makes resolution exponentially harder.
It does. Because the emotions are so intense, so complicated, these situations require immediate, firm boundaries and, almost always, professional help. You have to stabilize the rage before you can even think about healing.
So understanding why it happened, frustration, or rage is the crucial first step.
Absolutely. And if this kind of analysis is proving useful, just remember that these insights are distilled from Picot's best research. We really encourage you to dive deeper into all our offerings by visiting our main site, www.picot.com.
All right, let's pivot now. Let's turn toward the light. If this has happened in your relationship, the Picot material offers real assurance that healing is possible.
It is, but it has to be understood as a journey. It requires massive mutual effort.
So there's a roadmap.
There's a very clear roadmap. We have 5 key steps toward resolution that couples really have to commit to.
Okay, step 1. It sounds simple, but I'm guessing it's the hardest part. Identify root emotions.
It is. You have to move past the affair itself and figure out the primary driver. Was it neglect, betrayal, anger? If you only fix the affair, you're patching a sinking ship.
You have to fix the rot underneath.
Exactly. And that requires radical honesty from both sides.
Okay, step 2 is about creating safety. Communicate openly.
This means carving out a dedicated safe space for dialogue. The rule is you share honestly, but the harder part is you listen actively, without getting defensive. The goal is to understand, not to win.
Which is where step 3 comes in. For many, this is non-negotiable. Seek professional help.
Especially in those rage-driven cases, yes. A therapist who specializes in infidelity can guide you through that emotional maze. They're like a referee, keeping the conversation productive, not destructive.
Step 4 is about stabilizing yourself so you can even show up for this work. Prioritize self-care.
You can't repair a relationship if you're emotionally running on empty. This means setting boundaries, meditation, exercise, support from friends. You have to stabilize yourself first.
And finally, step 5 is where the real work happens. Engage in difficult conversations.
This is it. Tackling those uncomfortable, deep-seated issues about needs and grievances that have gone unsaid for years. And you have to do it with empathy and a spirit of compromise.
That roadmap moves a couple from pure chaos to structure, but the ultimate goal of all that work is, of course, rebuilding trust. And this is where the Picot material has this beautiful analogy.
The trust garden.
The trust garden.
It's perfect because it illustrates that trust isn't instant. It grows slowly, like a garden. You have to water it with honesty, nurture it with empathy, and give it sunlight through patience. You can't rush it.
So what does nurturing that garden look like, practically? What are the actions?
Okay, first, a concentrated effort to reestablish emotional intimacy. This means open, consistent dialogue about feelings and vulnerabilities, making the relationship feel safe again.
and second, a huge trap to avoid. You have to acknowledge past mistakes without dwelling in blame.
That's so crucial. Accountability is essential, but constantly rehashing the affair keeps you stuck in the past. Acknowledge it, own it, and then move forward.
Third, and this is a big one, commit to transparent behavior and accountability.
Transparency is the oxygen that Garden needs. If you say you'll be home at 5, be home at 5. Small, consistent actions build trust back, piece by piece.
And fourth, protecting that new growth means setting clear boundaries to prevent future betrayals.
Yes, define your rules of engagement. What does emotional intimacy with others look like now? These boundaries are the fence around the garden.
And finally, this isn't a one-person job.
Not at all. It demands mutual support and shared effort toward personal and relational growth. Both partners have to show up every single day, committed to evolving.
Which brings us to our final point, prevention. Because small daily actions can stop the seeds of resentment from ever growing in the first place.
Prevention is always better than repair. And the roadmap for it is basically the consistent application of all the tools we just talked about.
Proactive steps, like maintaining open lines of communication from the start. Don't wait until things are broken to talk.
And you need to make it a priority to address conflicts before they fester. That backlog of unaddressed frustration is poison. Clear the air weekly, even about small things.
Also, you have to actively prioritize emotional connection and validation regularly. Make sure your partner feels seen, valued, appreciated.
And here's where real commitment shines. Be genuinely attentive to your partner's needs and vulnerabilities. Don't assume. Ask. Listen. Be engaged in their well-being.
And finally, just remember that relationships require constant maintenance. Invest time and effort in keeping it vibrant and healthy.
Those tiny, consistent gestures, checking in, saying thank you, showing empathy, that's the nourishment that prevents deep, corrosive resentment from taking root.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? Well, understanding the deep roots of revenge affairs really gives you the power to break the cycle. The research confirms repair is absolutely achievable.
If both partners commit fully to that healing journey, with honesty and self-reflection, it's a profound process, but it is a journey that can lead to a stronger, more resilient, and more deeply communicative love than you had before.
So are you ready to take that first difficult step? We really encourage you to explore the best-selling ebooks on this subject and many others. They were our source material today, and they offer detailed guides to help you on this path. Just visit www.pitcott.com/books to download them.
And for further exploration of all our psychological and relational resources, make sure you visit the full Pitcott site at www.pitcott.com.
Thank you so much for listening to the Pitcott Podcast. I will leave a link in the description below. Thank you again for being there with us.